I think most of us know when we look and listen, whether it be TV or radio or some other method, that's now when someone's walking along, they can all of a sudden pull out this little thing in their hand and they can see everything they want to see right there, or they can hear everything they want to hear right there. And I thought, wow, you know, it's really amazing that the longer that we live in our time today, the more educated we become with the devices that God already has. You know, in our society today, we've seen movies, we've seen all kinds of things that had to do with going forward in time, going backwards in time, movies out about the spirit world and some of the things that exist in the spirit world. And if you were to do a survey of all of the books that have been written and all of the things that you see and hear, you will find that the basis of all that they came up with came from the Word of God. Actually came from the Word of God. But what happens is that when intelligence begins to develop within humans, then all of a sudden children come along and their minds are at work. You teach them a little things and they learn from the neighbors. They learn from other people around the things you don't want them to learn. So all of a sudden, if you're not careful, even in our society today, your household becomes in disarray. And it's not in order. Because all of a sudden, all of the people in that household are not thinking in the same way and going in the same direction. And so you evaluate that when we look at and see what God had to go through. When God created Adam and placed him on the earth, and Eve, he gave them instructions, didn't he? And he even said something about the tree of life, which also is mentioned in Revelation. The tree of life and all the other trees in the garden except one tree. He said there's one tree, which is the knowledge of good and evil, and that is the tree you shouldn't eat off. So he gave them what? He gave them laws regulating even the human government on this earth. Laws that regulate everyone accomplishing doing things together. But it should have been stressed continuously, getting together with the laws of God. Because God knows absolutely, just like I mentioned a little earlier, about the new moons. And the 7 years that have an extra moon, or 13 moons. Okay, of itself, we ourselves cannot come to grasp minutely all of those things unless God has given you and me the mind to do so. In some cases, some people have better minds at figuring some of those things out than others do. But the point of it is, we come along with God's way. What I'd like to show you, because Samuel was the one who was one who inspired and probably wrote the book of Judges. But what was the condition by the time of Samuel? By the time of Shiloh, remember that Samuel's mother had gone to Shiloh and prayed for a son. God gave her Samuel. And for about 40 years, Samuel lived and in and out and worked in and out of the temple at Shiloh. So he carried on God's way. Samuel was a very faithful, loyal person whom God came to when he was just a little kid and worked with him for the rest of his life in the temple. Walked and talked with him. That must have been a special experience that Samuel can tell us all about later, maybe in the kingdom, where God walked and talked with him. But the point is that after a while, things changed and laws changed. But they weren't changed by God, they were changed by humans. who decided that they didn't like the way God's law did in certain instances, so they would add their own ideas and their own concepts with it. And it's just like it is today. I remember that it said on the news again, a man was having problems with his cows, milk cows. And he was looking into it, find out why his milk cows weren't doing that, then he found out, you see, through cameras that he set up, that there was abuses going on with those cows by those who were working and those who were milking the cows. And it was even brought out that bestiality was involved as well. And the Bible talks about that being absolutely wrong. But, you know, you look at the human mind and the laws that we have changed, like today, it's okay if you follow and break the laws of God that says that man shouldn't be with man and woman shouldn't be with woman. That's not how God created it. And you'll find in the book of Romans that they have demented God's way and God's laws. So I think you can understand that God understood over a long period of time how long his ways and his laws could exist and that humans would be observant keeping them. Just recently, they brought that out to a certain degree anyway about George Washington and how George Washington and the sycamore tree and all of that and the World Trade Center, they were trying to bring all kinds of things together and how that George Washington would actually go and pray in the little chapel that was near that sycamore tree. And apparently, I'm just giving you the aspects of what was said, that the towers were built on that spot, and when it came down, it destroyed the sycamore tree. So they will give certain things like that. Okay, well, George Washington did try to bring in some of God's laws and God's commandments into the nation that was beginning at that particular time. But how long did that last? How long did that last in the war between the South and the North? Who was right in that? The slavery. All kinds of things that had to do with the laws that actually God gives in the Bible regulating that, including slaves, and knowing how to deal with it, and not having the abuse that human beings put into it as far as the laws of God are concerned. So the world is having a problem with the word law. The world's having a problem with the word law. They don't like law. You think most people like speed limits? No, they want the freedom to do what they want to do. Well, if you want to see some freedom, just go to Europe and get on the Autobahn. I mean, I had, because you could have the freedom of driving as fast as you wanted to over there. And we had a van that we had leased, and I had it floorboarded because I had to drive as fast as I could to keep from hurting the other cars or getting hurt by the other cars. And I'd be driving about 75 miles an hour. I think as fast as that van would even go was about 75. I'd be driving 75 miles an hour down there. And it might have been more than that, by the way. Yeah, I've forgotten exactly the difference between the speedometer and the what they use over there as far as their speed. So anyway, I'd see lights flashing behind me, and they'd pass me like I'm standing still. I mean, it was amazing to me to see that. But, you know, when laws are put up, it's because problems happen if you don't have those laws. And even ordinances. Like, for instance, can an ordinance be done away? Yeah, can be. An ordinance can be done away. Because an ordinance generally is like, for instance, you get a ticket for jaywalking because you don't want to go to the corner. But if you want to do away with that ordinance, then you put up a stop sign and have a walkway going where you normally jaywalk. So you don't have the ordinance then that's going to give you a ticket if you walk across at that particular spot. So there's ways of doing it, and there's ways of not wanting to do it too, not wanting to continue on and grow in understanding with it. Because when we were building the dam and also the Lake Loma at Big Sandy, this came up, and they said, well, how are we going to do these things And an Englishman said, and I'm not downing the Englishman, I'm just saying this is what he said. He said, well, let's do it like we do in England. And I said, what do you do in England? He said, well, just for instance, we built this bridge across this ravine with a traffic light at each end so that the traffic could cross over. When it came their time, the light would come on, you'd cross over it, and then you could cross back over the other way when the light changed at the other end. And I said, how come? How come they didn't make it two-way? If they're going to build a bridge over the ravine, why didn't you make it two-way? You could have both traffic going both directions and no lights. He said, well, but that's the way we've always done it. Now, it's amazing to me that part is what we actually, believe it or not, ran into when we had the college in England. And I'm not downing those people. I'm just saying that they had certain rules and regulations that you could not add a room to one of the buildings that we were leasing, even though we would pay them to do so because we wanted to expand. And they said, well, you can't do that because that building has to be exactly as it is forever because that's the way we built it. How do you deal with that? See, it's amazing. It's amazing the growth and the understanding of growing, even in God's way, and even taking on more of God's knowledge, is still there, and even how to apply the laws of God, as all of us heard last week, with mercy. To apply God's laws with mercy and kindness, rather than, I told you to do that, and I'm your dad, and I'm in charge around here, and I'm in control around here, and you follow my law. Rather than saying, hon, I just want you to understand that what I'm telling you is good for you. It's good for you. And you'll be able to expand, you'll be able to do things your own way when you leave and have your own home. Why not just get educated now and learn the laws of the home in that case, so that you can have laws in your own home, and maybe if you think you can improve this or improve that, you're welcome to do that. That would be your understanding. Well, we've done that too, and we've done it in our nation. We've done it all over the world. And yet it comes to one thing. When you go long enough, you get away from God's law and God's commandments and God's statutes and God's judgments. And they become what? Our own laws, our own judgments, our own way of doing it. Can you imagine what the universe would be like if we were going to follow that kind of reasoning in the future? With all people being added to the family of God, and they're going to go out and in the whole universe, they're going to run things the way they want to do it. They want to run like the Father said, or like, in this case, the God of the universe and of all the universes, because of His kingdom there is no end. And of course, once we're part of it, we'll be in a kingdom that has no end as well. Go here to the Judges, the 21st chapter. Judges, the 21st chapter. And let's see what it was like toward the end of Samuel's time, even. Even much so because when I was doing a research on the temples of God, including the tent temples, such was at Shiloh, because the temple that was at Shiloh, you can find that even Eli was standing by the post in the temple whenever Samuel's mother was praying in the temple of God at Shiloh. It was a tent temple at Shiloh. And at the end of that, of course, we know that the tent tabernacle was reset up again in Jerusalem in the city of David, and he brought the Ark of the Covenant there and lived in a cedar house himself, but wanted to build a house for God rather than it being in a tent. And so therefore God said, well, no, David, you're not going to do that. I'm going to let your son build that temple. And so, which Solomon did later, and then, of course, later Jesus Christ built the best one, which was the Spirit Temple. But it says in those days, verse 25, and it's mentioned earlier in the same chapter here, chapter 17, but it says, in those days there was no king in Israel. And when you don't have someone who's king, I could ask the question, even today, is there a king in Israel today? Is there a God in Israel today? And if there is, no one accepted as the one who is God, then it says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Are we doing that today? Are we doing it in the church today? Are we setting up our own government? Our own understanding of how things should be? It's very important for us to understand that and realize what God is looking for. Let's go back to Genesis, the 26th chapter. Genesis, the 26th chapter, and we find a statement made by God. Genesis, the 26th chapter, and this is a story of where there was a famine in the land, verse 1, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went out unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, to Gerar, and the Lord appeared to him. God appeared to him and said, don't go down to Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell you of. So he's giving him instruction. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you, for unto you and unto your seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham your father. And I will make of your seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto your seed all these countries. And in your seed shall all the nations of the entire earth be blessed. So all of a sudden, here's God intervening down to the second one under Abraham. Abraham and Isaac, and this was Isaac, and God appeared and talked to him. He said, look, this is what I want you to continue on with. And I'll make your seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, give you to your seed all these countries, and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, and they have been. But it's falling apart now. All nations are not blessed anymore. We're not accomplishing because God is left out of the picture, and people make laws and commandments and statutes and judgments of what they think is right. And because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, notice that. Oh, Abraham obeyed my laws and kept my charge and my commandments and my statutes and my laws. So what do we do today? Do we keep the charge going on? Remember he said to Abraham, he said, I know you. I know that you will tell your children and your children's children everything that I've said to you. So the first thing here was the fact that Abraham obeyed my voice. He obeyed my voice. So it was a talking relationship that he had. And of course, we have a talking relationship today too as well. We ask God, our Father, through Jesus Christ in our prayers, we ask him, what should I do about this? And all of a sudden, he puts a little zing into your brain and your mind through the power of his Holy Spirit, and it directs you to the scripture of where he said it. And you read the scripture and you say, oh, that's what you said to do. Let's go do it, because he said to do it. Or otherwise, you could say, well, I'll do it the way I want to do it. How far do you think that's going to go? Unless you're basing it on God's laws. If you're basing it on God's laws, it will work. Obey my voice. Obey my voice. God speaks to us through His Word. Obey my voice. Keep my charge. He charged us to do the things that He said for us to do. Keep my charge, my commandments, and my statutes, and my laws. Now that has been a downfall for quite a few people because of the fact that they don't like the word command. Commandment. Commandment. You mean I'm commanded to do this? No, God gave you free moral agency, didn't He? He gave us free moral agency. And so we can make decisions, but those decisions have to be made according to His Word and His laws and His commandments and statutes and judgments the best we can with the power of God's Holy Spirit guiding us, or it's going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess. And we're going to turn out having to suffer. Let's go to Exodus 15. Exodus, the 15th chapter here. Exodus 15. And let's see what happened during Moses' time. Exodus 15. And Moses had already, if you back up in Exodus 14, you will find that he had stretched out his hand over the sea, and God caused it to open up for them to go over. Okay, so they should have seen the power of God. You know, Moses actually followed through as well, God's laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments. And he taught them as well. But notice here in chapter 15 and verse 26, he says here, "If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Eternal your God, and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you." Well, there's another story. And, you know, we told our children, although in our society today, they've messed it all up. We told our children as they were growing up, you know, that there were certain blessings for being obedient to the parents. And even while the father's gone out working, the mother's at home taking care of the children, and the children should be obedient to the mother. The mother's instruction, guiding and directing the children to grow up. And a child does something wrong, and the mother may give that child a swat or a penalty. Now, Scripture talks about the rod, not a steel rod, but a paddle or a mode of spanking that God approves of, and yet the world doesn't approve of it. And that's why the world's in the state that it's in today, is because they don't approve of what God has said and done. In fact, they would say God's a cruel God because He put diseases on people. But why does God do it? Because of a spiritual law that they've gone against. And He's trying to enforce that, helping them to know where they've gone wrong. But that's what He says. He says, if you will diligently hearken, you see, to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals you. You know what that tells me? That tells me that God does both, doesn't He? He can bring the disease, but He can also heal it too. Most people believe one, but they don't believe the other. God heals too. When we strive to do what's right, just like a child, and if a child straightens up and obeys the mother, even after spanking, "Oh, Mama, I'm sure sorry I did what I did. I could you forgive me?" And so the mother reaches in her purse and she pulls out, for a small child, she'll pull out 10 cents and say, go put that in your bank, and that's your reward for having a change of attitude. That's what God does too, only His is a whole lot greater. God's blessing is a whole lot greater. So the principle I'm trying to get across here too as well, that you have the laws that God has given, and if we strive and have a desire to strive to obey those laws, like for instance, even coming up, do we look forward to the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Passover and Unleavened Bread, because that's part of the laws that God gave Moses when he came out of the land of Egypt and said, this is what you shall do, and this is what you should be accomplishing. And we say, yes, sir, because it's for our good, something that we look forward to experience being in the presence of God, because God is always, and Christ as well, is always at their high days that they ask us to come and convene to be with them. I used to wonder about it even at Shiloh or at Mount Sinai when they had the temple there at Mount Sinai. How many people really had the attitude of recognizing that God was in their presence and wanted to be there in the presence of God? Did they have that? Well, I think most of us know what happened to the Israelites, because they just didn't want to obey law. They just didn't want to obey law. And of course, they had the temple tabernacle, first of all, there in Mount Sinai. And God would appear and talk to Moses and say, this is what I told Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and now you. Now, I want you to carry this on, and from here, the Israelites are going into the promised land, and then we'll set up the temple there, which Joshua did, set it up in Shiloh, as God instructed them to do. And later in David's time, and then in Solomon's time, and then, of course, in Ezra and Nehemiah's time. So there's always been a plan along the way of the laws of God being given to all peoples. And that's why it was important in our first coming into the Church of God with the Radio Church of God, was because of the fact that we wanted to get to the whole world and help them to understand what will bring them peace and harmony and happiness, not only, you see, as in the world, but in the family. The local family, in the community, in the town, in the city, in the area. Can you imagine across the United States of America and even around the world, every single city obeying God's laws? You say, well, that'd be a lot of work, wouldn't it? I mean, you'd have to keep the Feast of Tabernacles in 1,000 places instead of just one or two. Because everybody'd be interested in keeping the Feast of Tabernacles and the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of First Fruits. We would want to do that. And I know that's what I saw too as well. Let's skip ahead to Exodus the 20th, or the 19th chapter, actually, is what I want to turn to. The 19th chapter, I wanted to read this because they were headed for Mount Sinai, and God was beginning to give them certain things to do. And beginning in verse 11, it says, be ready against the third day. Now, they were in the desert. They had come to the desert of Sinai, and then they were going on into the area that God had instructed Moses to go. Be ready the third day. The Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Here's God going to come down to be in the presence of His people upon Mount Sinai. Why was He coming down, and what was He going to do? Now, this was in the third day of the third month, and that was when what? If you want to count it out for yourself, you could. If you want to find the moons again, and the years again, and all of the other things, and compile it, you'll find that it was headed toward what we referred to today as the Feast of First Fruits are Pentecost. And the reason for that was that they had already kept the Passover coming out of the land of Egypt and the days of unleavened bread too. And so by the third month, it was the time of the feast for the first fruits. And so he said how important it was. The Lord will come down in sight of all the people of Mount Sinai, and you shall set bounds to the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that you go not up to the mount or touch the border of it, and whosoever touches the mount shall surely be put to death. Very serious. Well, I think if you understand the power of God, you have to do what he says to do in the boundaries, because otherwise it could be death for all of us. 2. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. And when the trumpet sounds long. So God now is going to give them signals. When the trumpet sounds long. Now see, isn't that laws of regulation? Like we even have that today when we have certain events. You have certain laws you have to follow in order to even go to a ball game, for as that goes. Or there'd be nothing but just total chaos. So regulations and laws, judgments, commandments, and statutes, and of course this was one of the statutes right here that he was going to be observing. And notice a little later on it says here in verse 16, it says, it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud. And so it was all the people was made in the camp, they trembled. And a little later on, it says in verse 19, and when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder. Can you imagine this on this holy day? Louder and louder. Or, to give you the better understanding, on this statute. All the holy days are statutes of God. Statutes of God. That's why we believe that Abraham kept the holy days. Because it says that he kept God's laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments. He kept all of them. And this is what happened in verse 1 of chapter 20. And then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. And you're to have no other gods before me or in the place of me. And you shall not make unto you any graven image. And so he goes on and talks about the commandments of God. The 10 commandments of God. Laws that regulate how to run a nation and the world. Did you know that to this day, if we were going to be obedient to God through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and Moses, and Samuel, and David, I could go right down the line. If we're going to do what they did, especially when you get to Josiah's time, when you get to Josiah's time, he read in the book of law what he was supposed to do. So he went out and destroyed all of those things that were against God's law. The Sodomites, all of the people that were going against God, and all the things they had in the land that was against God's laws, commandments, and statutes, and judgments. He destroyed them. What would it be like today if we were to go throughout this land, or even like, for instance, if when we went over to Iraq, and some of those other nations over there that we were willing to give our kids' lives for, why didn't we straighten it out and give them God's laws? Because we didn't know God's laws, did we? Because that's what would bring peace, not democracy. Everybody thinks the word democracy would bring peace. Democracy eventually will bring on people fighting each other all the time. Because that's what democracy is, that everybody's free to think the way they want to think. Which they do have that option. Even in God's life, they have that option. But you also have a penalty. And the penalty we paid over there was we lost our kids' legs and arms and lives. So we weren't obedient to it. We weren't doing what God said to do. And that's what we must keep in mind. When we read all of this, the rest of this we'll give, you know, God's 10 commandments. And let's go back to Nehemiah 9 now, which again is getting up to the time of the second temple, the time of the second temple under Ezra and Nehemiah. Nehemiah, the ninth chapter, and let's notice what he says here as well, because it just fits right in with that, beginning in verse 9. For we were bondmen, yet our God has not forsaken us in our bondage, but has extended mercy to us in the sight of the kings of Persia. That was when Ezra and Nehemiah were in. Ezra, the ninth chapter, and in verse 9. We were bondmen, and we had mercy extended to us in the sight of the kings of Persia to give us a reviving. We need a reviving. I think probably this word may be what even my own uncle, who was in one of the religious circles of the world back when I was growing up as a kid, he said, we've got to have a revival. We need a revival. Set up a tent and let's have a revival. And I've often wondered through the years if they didn't use tents for their revivals, because that's what God lived in up until the time of Solomon. In tents. That's what Scripture says. He lived in tents up until that particular time. To set up the house of our God and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. And that's why they have that praying wall. If you want to look at it as just a section of it today, which my wife and I were able to walk up to, and kind of interesting over there that you have to have if you're a man, you have to have a covering on your head, and a woman doesn't. So you walk up there and to the wall, and I had my hat on. And so therefore they said, fine. I had a cowboy hat on, and I walked right up to the wailing wall to look at all the pieces of paper that were stuffed in between all the cracks with all these prayers that all these people thought God was reading. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, when you can talk with God on your knees in your bedroom, and God can hear you, you don't need a wall. You don't need a wall to stick little notes into, etc. But anyway, that was part of it, because in reality, what happened through the years in some of the readings that I read was that the physical temple became more important than the one that we should worship in it. And they had to do everything physically because that was more important to them than God was. So it's kind of interesting what we had to go through to give us a wall in Judah and Jerusalem. And so they were praying about it and talking to God about what was happening, and then skipping on now down to the ninth chapter of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, the ninth chapter, and beginning in verse 13, says, you came down on Mount Sinai, and you spoke with them from heaven. This is Nehemiah 9:13, and gave them what? Right judgments. You gave them right judgments. What kind of judgments do we use today? And true laws, or as the marginal rendering in this case is, laws of truth. Laws that are true. And I get a big a kick out of it sometimes whenever you see movies, or you even see someone going into a court situation that they film on TV. And the court clerk comes up and says, raise your right hand, and do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And then all of a sudden, all these lies are told. It's really amazing. It's amazing that, you know, we can say it. We can say laws of truth, laws that lead to truth, good statutes and commandments, and have made known to them your holy Sabbath, and commanded them precepts and statutes and laws by the hand of Moses, your servant. But did they want to do anything about it? Did they want to obey God? Did they want to serve Him? Notice verse 31. Nevertheless, for your great mercy's sake, you did not utterly consume them because of their attitude and what they did, nor even forsake them. just as we wouldn't do today, if we saw our children involved in things that were breaking of God's laws and God's commandments, we would not like it. And we probably would say something to them, say, "Don't you? We raised you better than that. We reared you better than that." Two words you could use, I suppose, South and North. And correctly, politically, I don't know. But anyway, it's a matter of recognizing that we teach certain things. And we should still want to help them no matter what. For you are a gracious and merciful God. Now, it's interesting that even though sometimes our children could be put in prison for wrong reasons, we would go visit them. We'd spend time with them. We'd try to help them, wouldn't we? And you look at the New Testament, you will find that the apostles and some of the others were thrown in jail a lot, weren't they? They were thrown in jail a lot, and yet people would try to deal with that and visit, come down, see him, or certain miracles happened even from the jail because they were teaching the jailer and all the others God's way of life and even baptized quite a few people. So the work of God actually went on even though the apostles were in jail. But to me, it's important to understand that we have God's laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments, which include the Ten Commandments, include the holy days, the regular Sabbath day. And then you have the other important part, which I think takes the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to accomplish it. And that has to do with right judgments. Because see, right judgments takes the power of God through your mind to be able to evaluate God's laws and commandments and statutes to be able to get that message across when you're making a judgment about it. Like, for instance, I had to make a judgment, and I'll give this an example because I lost and missed the Sabbath one time when I was in the Navy. And it really made me mad, and I was a little irritated, too, as well, that it happened the way it happened because I wasn't ready for, nor did I know how to deal with it. And I'd been reading and studying the Bible, but we crossed the international dateline going from San Diego to the area we were going to, and it was on a Friday when we crossed it. And the next day was Sunday. So when you cross the line, you skip a day. So I missed the Sabbath. I said, "What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Today is Sunday. I'm not going to worship God on Sunday. Because that's not God's day to worship on. That's the first day of the week." So we were gone for about, three or four weeks, whatever it was that we were gone, to do the job we had to do out at sea. And then we came back. And when we came back, it was on the Sabbath that we crossed the international dateline. And I was observing the Sabbath. I was down my little cubbyhole called the office down below the ship, and I was studying the Bible on that day. And I didn't realize that we were crossing. I found out from one of the guys, we just crossed the international dateline, and it's still the Sabbath. So I kept two Sabbaths coming back. I missed the Sabbath going, but I kept two Sabbaths coming back. So it's kind of interesting that we go through those. I don't know why God took me through that, but and I don't know how he did it, except through the power of his Spirit, because how did that ship know to come back at that same time? Crossing that at that particular time. I don't know, but I understood it, and I realized that God's laws are very important, and if we're going to make any decisions, we need it. We need his laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments, and we need to know them thoroughly to be able to answer all questions coming our way. And even having the mind of that to be able to see what God set up for us, including the moons, as I just described to you as well. So let's turn to one final scripture in Hebrews, the 8th chapter. Hebrews, the 8th chapter. The Bible is so full of understanding and the way of doing things, all based on God's laws and God's commandments. Hebrews, the 8th chapter, and beginning here in verse 10. It says, "For this is the new covenant," or "this is the covenant," which is the new covenant, that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind. Do we have God's laws solidly in our minds today? And if we start to do something, that wouldn't be right. That's God's laws, says not to do that. Do we make decisions as we walk, as we talk, as we do things? I will put my laws in their mind, write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. For they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me. All shall know me, from the least to the greatest. And I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Okay, there's the mind of God right there. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. And boy, that is hard to do, isn't it? You know, when you see some of our leaders, even of our nation and of the world, making certain decisions, it's hard to be righteous. You almost want to take care of it then and there. But guess what? If you did do something about it, that could be according to God's laws too. So we have to evaluate what we're going to do, and we are going to take care of it, whether it be getting down on our knees and praying after somebody said something as a national leader that they shouldn't say, pray and ask God to move his mind to say the right thing rather than castigate or try to kill them, even mentally. Oh, a bunch of dumb dodos or whatever. See, what do we do? How do we think? How do we use our minds in dealing with where we're living and what we're doing? Because if you want to go back, I think all of us know this. If you want to go back, we all originally came across the divide on Noah's Ark. We're all brothers and sisters around this world. How do we deal with one another? How does God? You know, God loves everyone. In fact, John 3:16 says, He gave His Son's life for the entire world of all time, for all mankind, to be a part of His family. That's merciful. Although we say, well, God, you wouldn't want them, would you? You wouldn't. I want them because I gave them special things in the spirit of man, in their mind, and that's part of the character and the power of doing something and knowing how to do it the way I want it done in my family. And I think all of us know that because today we have engineers, we have scientists who gaze at the stars. We have all of these different characteristics and talents that God gave in the spirit of man, severally as He will. In fact, my wife and I were talking about it, was it last night or this morning? I said, you know, it's really amazing that you hear songs from different people singing and making joyful noises, and you hear songs you love to just keep hearing over and over again. It's just beautiful. And then you go back in your mind, you say, you know what? When all of these people who are now singing, God gave them that talent in the spirit of man. You know why? Because He wanted it on the earth. And He wanted all these songs written. I couldn't figure out. In fact, I had several of the guys in Nashville tell me when we were pastoring there too as well. And some of them were involved with writing skills and that kind of a thing. And they said, even with some of the ones who wrote songs and made millions of dollars on some of those songs that they sang, they said it just came to them in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and they wrote it in 5 minutes. The whole song. Just wrote it right out. They said it just came to us. Well, don't you think God was involved with that? If it was a good song. If it's a bad song, the other spirit was involved, okay? So you have these things that you go through. I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities. I will delete them from my mind. Just like a computer does, you can't find it anymore because it accidentally deleted it. So it's amazing to look forward to the time that all of our sins will be totally deleted. So in that he said a new covenant, he has made the first old, and now that which is decayed and wax old is ready to vanish away. So, and that's another proof of the covenant for the kingdom of God being done in our time today. Although I don't know when the end's coming. If you figure that one out, you let me know. I thought the end was coming in 1975, and it never did. And here I am, you know, headed again for 2075. Oh, that's quite a few years ahead, isn't it? You know, for that, and another 100 years is going to have to go by from 75 to 2075. And so, but I don't know. But I know this: when God sees that all of us are ready to run the new world with his laws and commandments and statutes and judgments, that will be the end, and it will be made very family members, spirit family members, to help him rule for 1,000 years.